Listen, I get it. You like saving in Bitcoin. But check this out. You can actually complement your HODL position by investing in Bitcoin startups. If you want additional upside and enjoy learning about angel investing, you should check out Lightning Ventures. Lightning Ventures is a great way to stack real equity in Bitcoin-only companies. They've invested in businesses you've heard about on this show, including Azteco, CrowdHealth, and Swan Bitcoin. And Lightning Ventures makes it easy to get started in the world of early stage investing. The minimum investment is only $1,000 per deal, and you only invest in the deals that make sense to you. So, if you want to get a behind-the-scenes look at the startups you know and love, if you want a chance to support their growth, and if you want another opportunity to profit as the Bitcoin ecosystem develops, check out the 60-second application in the show notes to get started today in building a world that runs on better money. Welcome to the Business Bitcoinization Show, the show dedicated to helping you enrich your life and grow your business with Bitcoin, the hardest money on planet Earth. I'm your host, Josh Friedemann, and our guest today is James Lawrence, who's the co-founder and CEO of Endgiven, which is a company that helps nonprofits grow their missions through donations of cryptocurrency. Listen, you may not be a nonprofit leader, but you're probably connected to nonprofits, either as a donor or a board member. And I want you to think about during this interview whether or not something like Endgiven could be beneficial for those organizations. We're going to get to our interview with James right after this. Business owners, unlock the benefits Bitcoin has to offer your business with the Bitcoin for Business Quick Start Guide. This 27-page guide highlights the 6 ways you can grow your business with Bitcoin. Check it out in the show notes. James, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Josh. It's great to be here.
So I like to start off every single interview with a few questions that help us to get to know you a little bit better and give us some insight for our own lives. So you ready for these?
Yeah, let's do it.
When and how did you first learn about Bitcoin?
Well, I learned about Bitcoin back in, I have to say it would be 2011. So fairly early on, compared to kind of when most folks heard about it. And I believe it was a discussion I was having with a friend of mine who was very into early technologies and was always coming up to me with interesting ideas related to innovation and kind of new tech, and was asking me about Bitcoin. And what I had known about it at that point was really kind of what I had heard about kind of on dark web and Silk Road, and how people were using Bitcoin to buy guns and drugs online, which was, super fascinating. And it was an area where I didn't spend a lot of time, but I certainly had heard about it. And as I watched Bitcoin sort of evolve, I spent a little more time in blockchain. My background's in software engineering. So blockchain just as an infrastructure technology became, really fascinating to me, and sort of how it was used in Bitcoin as an example of blockchain. And then I finally gotten around to buying some in early 2013. And that's when I finally kind of put my money where my mouth was, because I was starting to talk about Bitcoin as being this thing that could potentially be a game changer. And I finally said, as an engineer, I got to figure out how this works. So I ended up back then, I think Mt. Gox was the big Bitcoin trading platform that was trading most of the Bitcoin around the world at that time. And I was able to set up an account and buy my first tranche. And I've been a pretty big fan, as you can imagine, ever since.
Now, I know a lot of people lost a lot of Bitcoin with Mt. Gox. Did you have any issues there?
Thankfully, I did not. I had it for about a year. And so I think I got in at just under $100 per Bitcoin. And I remember when it hit 1,000, I thought to myself, that's got to be it. Like, Bitcoin could never go higher than this. This just seems like such a huge increase. And, 10x on my investment, which, quite frankly, I never had, huge aspirations of Bitcoin being this appreciated asset, right? It was always, this will be something that will potentially be a replacement for fiat, and it'll, probably stay really low, or at some point it'll sort of even out and it'll be really useful to buy things, buy services, whatnot. So I ended up selling some of it. And then in that process, I ended up moving it to my own, my own wallet that I custodied myself. And not too long after, Mt. Gox imploded, and you know the story there. So yeah, thankfully I was spared of the insanity that happened in that particular case. And you know, I'm still hoping that most people that lost Bitcoin in there have gotten it back at some point.
The next question is this: what's an insight or fact about Bitcoin that you wish that everyone understood?
Well, there's probably a few. I mean, one fun fact is you can buy tacos, street tacos in El Zante, El Salvador with it, which I think is just really awesome. I think most people don't know that the total circulating supply is getting pretty close to the end. And it's going to be kind of fascinating to see how what the adoption looks like, what the value of it looks like. Does it stabilize? Does it become, you know, more valuable because now it's, you know, there's no more being minted? But I think that's a kind of a fascinating topic that most people just think, oh, Bitcoin's going to just, you know, continue to be minted forever, and you know, we're not too far away from seeing kind of the end of you know, the supply being minted.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, some people listening to this will already know that there's only going to be ever 21 million, with quite a few of those having been lost. But what a lot of people don't think about is the fact that 19 million of those already are out there. So from right now until 2140, whenever it is, 2 million have left to be minted. And that's pretty incredible to wrap your mind around.
It is indeed.
The third question is this: what's the Bitcoin resource you most recommend to other people?
You know, I like reading the news publications that are focused on crypto. And I mean, Bitcoin.com is great. CoinDesk. I try to, use Google Alerts for Bitcoin for interesting things that might pop up. And I do my best to kind of stay up on certain Reddit groups. So I think it's really a preference on how you like to digest your content. So specifically around Bitcoin, I think there's some great resources. There's lots of good blogs. There's many, Bitcoin maximalists on Twitter that provide great insights about what's going on, where, which whales are pulling Bitcoin out of exchanges and self-custodying or whatnot. And so I think it's really up to the user to kind of determine what they like, how they like their data, provided to them. But there's just so much good info out there that I don't just focus on one particular area. I try to keep a pulse through a variety of different, news media.
Question four is, beyond Bitcoin, what's a resource or an idea that's been valuable to you or your business recently?
I really like the idea of Bitcoin providing some kind of earning capability. And so I'm not sure this directly answers your question, but I think that's an area where most folks don't have much of a perspective or understanding about the fact that if you own Bitcoin, if you're a holder, and you can also have some opportunity to earn some interest on that holding. And I believe most people that are holding it for the long term should be at least looking into that. So I think that's an area where, as an organization, we want to be helpful to maximize the investment and the resources that especially our clients, which are charities, are receiving through holding those assets. So you can sort of put along that the kind of all that's going on in the DeFi world, like wrapped Bitcoin and all that, not necessarily directly Bitcoin, but a way to express the Bitcoin concept in other tokens is interesting.
Our final question is what we call the arbitrary but insightful question, and it's this: as a general life principle, is it better to ask why or why not?
Definitely why not.
Why do you say that?
And I think as an innovator, we have to look at providing solutions where the business case may not always make perfect sense. We have to innovate, you're often creating something that people don't yet know they want. And I think the only way you can approach that and sort of keep your sanity and keep going is to have a belief and a decision system built around questioning the status quo. And I think we certainly did that with Ingiven for a long time. There were very few people interested in donating Bitcoin. There was very few charities that were interested in receiving it. And yet we had this very sort of foundational view of like, well, why not? Like, why not donate it? Why not receive it? And eventually it became very clear to both donors and charities, there was a real value here. There's a real opportunity here. And so I think that that kind of approach is what entrepreneurs need to have to get out of bed every day and fight the fight until the market catches up with their idea.
Meet Linkster, your premier Bitcoin-focused advisor. Linkster caters to businesses, institutions, family offices, and high-net-worth individuals. They merge your unique financial goals and needs with Linkster's Bitcoin expertise to craft your own sustainable plan to preserve and grow the value of your hard-earned profits and retained earnings. At Linkster, it's not just advice, it's tailored execution. Connect directly with the founder by visiting linkster.com. That's LYNCSTER.com. Linkster, secure your future with Bitcoin. Today's episode of Business Bitcoinization is proudly brought to you by Velus Commerce, where the future of business technology meets Bitcoin. As we journey through the era of Bitcoin and its transformational impact on businesses, there's one name that stands out: Velus Commerce. Whether you're looking to build a cutting-edge website, a seamless mobile app, or custom software, Velus is your go-to team. They've been diving deep into the world of Bitcoin since 2014, making them one of the most experienced groups for integrating Bitcoin and Lightning payments into a variety of digital platforms. But here's what truly sets them apart. Velus Commerce doesn't just build. They bring a wealth of knowledge to ensure your project's success from day one. Their team understands the nuances of Bitcoin, ensuring that your business stays ahead of the curve. And for all business Bitcoinization listeners out there, Velus Commerce is offering a free consultation to kickstart your project the right way. So if you're ready to future-proof your business in the coming age of hyper-Bitcoinization, head over to veluscommerce.com or reach out on Twitter at veluscommerce. Let's make sure your business thrives in the Bitcoin era. Well, James, we're here today to talk about Ngiven and all that Ngiven makes possible for nonprofits especially. But maybe we can talk a little bit about the donating side as well when it comes to donating Bitcoin to organizations. That being said, I'd love to hear from you about Ngiven and maybe even drawing from some of your previous experience creating, I think, at least two, maybe three other companies. Maybe some of the things you learned in the process to lead up to Ngiven.
Sure. Well, my venture into being an entrepreneur really started in my kind of mid-20s during the dot-com era, and learned a lot about kind of markets, product market fit, the hype that is often associated with emerging technologies and opportunities. And, you know, that instructed, you know, a lot of kind of what the sequence of, you know, my career and various companies that I've started and been involved with. I think the fascination around flow, the digital flow of funds has kind of started when my company back in, this would be the late 1990s, was tasked with building, essentially a digital payment / money movement service that was also connected to Wells Fargo's one of their mainframes, and it was a really just interesting process learning that how much more efficient it was to move digital assets electronically versus sort of the old school way of doing things, and that had always been kind of in the back of my mind. You know, and as my current business partner Matt Hayes and I started Ngiven, really the genesis for that started, you know, back when we created a company called MoGive, which was in late 2008, and that company was started to provide a text to give service for charities as a way to generate more income, and we quickly figured out that most charities were not quite ready for that. They hadn't really adopted credit card giving yet. And so what we did is we kind of retooled the product to support ACH and credit card giving. And at that point, very few charities accepted credit cards for donations. Mm. And obviously that wave, we rode that wave for 8 years or so until the company was acquired in 2016. And we understood at that point what charities really needed from a fintech experience, and also the sales cycle and how to support and whatnot. And charities as organizations are they're nuanced from the various types of verticals in that space. And so one organization, for example, churches, we had many churches on our platform. They have a very unique giving experience unrelated to, say, Humane Society, or a public charity where, you know, they have a different kind of fundraising cadence. So we learned a lot. And, you know, after we sold that company, we weren't really all that interested in doing fundraising anymore. The primary reason was we just didn't feel like there was a lot of innovation left in the space. There was plenty of companies that were doing a great job. There's lots of options. We felt like the charitable market was pretty well served by the technology that were out from a giving standpoint. But nobody was interested in blockchain. And nobody was doing anything from a fundraising standpoint around, at that time, Bitcoin. And it was an area where I started to talk to leaders of various charities and ask them, you know, have you heard of Bitcoin? Are you interested in it? And there was this sort of curiosity. There clearly wasn't a desire to adopt it. There wasn't a big motivation or a big push, but there was a curiosity. And so what we decided to do was take a very long, methodical approach to determining whether or not we thought there was going to be a business for charitable donations of Bitcoin. And, you know, we spent quite a long time in the regulatory and compliance environment, understanding the tax implications, you know, what it looked like from a flow of funds and, you know, transmitting digital assets, what have you. And we finally came to the conclusion that we understood pretty well how to roll this out and then pass along kind of all the compliance and regulatory guidelines that we had learned to our clients, so that we could then go to a nonprofit and present them with a solution that we knew they would keep them safe, would keep the donor safe, and would provide, you know, an elegant experience for, you know, for both of them. And so that's really what we kind of got to that point, and then we decided to build our system, which in many ways was modeled after a traditional digital giving platform, which we had, you know, obviously had done for many years. So that part of it was pretty straightforward. But even then, there was a long, you know, there's a long period from the time we had started the company to where we started onboarding customers. And then it wasn't really until 2021 where kind of that product market fit that you know, every entrepreneur looks for really started to show itself.
So in the past, I've worked at a nonprofit, and I know that nonprofits never want to say no to a gift, especially if there is obvious value there. Sometimes, sure. Every once in a while, you want to make sure that it's actually valuable if it's a gift in kind. But that being said, I'd be curious to know what receiving a donation in Bitcoin might look like with Ingiven and without Ingiven. Like, so what is the value that Ingiven brings to the process besides just a little bit of explanation and clarity?
Sure. Well, we have a methodology that follows what we believe are the obligatory compliance requirements for organizations who are accepting and exchanging crypto. So part of that is when an organization signs up with us, it's very similar to if they were to walk into their local Bank of America and open up a checking account. So there's a verification process, KYC AML process that we put them through. And that helps to ensure our platform and our partner exchange, which is Gemini, that they are in good standing. And Gemini also, by the way, puts them through their compliance department. So there's sort of this two compliance processes that they have to go through, which some charities just quite frankly don't want to deal with it. They don't want to go through it, and maybe they'll go self-custody. I'll talk about that solution in a minute. But once they're onboarded onto our platform, we provide a customized giving page. We provide a great donation interface for their givers. And once the donation is made, our system monitors the blockchain, ensures that it's verified on the blockchain. And then for most of our clients, we'll actually exchange it for US dollars in real time. And it's a fully automated process. And then we send a receipt to the donor. We move the funds directly from their exchange account into their local bank account, and that's if they've converted it. And then we also provide a custody solution. So we're big fans of crypto. We're huge fans of Bitcoin, and we believe that there's a long term strategy there for organizations that want to hold it. Many don't. Many aren't sure. So we actually have a custody solution built and fully integrated into our platform for those who want to hold Bitcoin. And it goes into Gemini's cold storage system, and it's a great service for charities that have kind of made that leap from, okay, we're accepting and exchanging, now we actually want to hold. which we think is important to provide. And then, you know, we also take care of the tax documents that are required. So that, you know, the IRS requires an 8282 form for the charity to fill out. We automatically generate that for the charity. And then for the donor, you know, once it's over, a donation's over $500, they have to file an 8283. And then for donations over $5,000, they were required to have an appraisal. So our system actually will generate the 8283 and appraisal via DocuSign process that we put the donor through. So there's sort of all these value added features and you know, various functions that are related uniquely to crypto as this non-cash asset that are different than kind of your traditional securities donation or what have you. And so we provide kind of an end-to-end solution, and then we educate our clients. And that's a big part of it, is the education.
And the ability to probably pass that education on to people who might have cryptocurrencies, allowing the nonprofit to educate in turn their donors.
Yeah, without question. You know, just the basic understanding that appreciated Bitcoin when donated is really one of the best tax benefits a donor can have. And for the donors that don't know that, you know, the organization is really armed with some great, you know, material to present to their donors to get them to make those donations. And we are seeing that specifically Bitcoin donations are, you know, they're so much higher than your average credit card donation. I mean, I think, you know, at least 150 times higher than the average. And so these are major gifts. And Bitcoin, you know, without question, is a major gift. As an example, you know, we processed a $10 million Bitcoin donation to a charity last year. And, you know, for organizations that don't think that Bitcoin provides a great donation asset, it's like, well, just look at the impact a $10 million gift can make. So this is real. This is happening. And, you know, certainly Bitcoin has been, you know, kind of leading the conversation as a donation asset.
And so what are some of the conversations you have with nonprofits when it comes to whether or not they should hold Bitcoin on their balance sheet or sell it immediately? Are there any general principles you help to talk people through, or is it too specific to each given situation that you couldn't give guidance right here?
You know, I think it's a pretty general topic. I mean, yes, every organization is a little bit unique. We have some organizations that have been building crypto portfolios for years, and they are just firm believers. You know, for example, you know, a church that just comes to mind, you know, they're specifically building a Bitcoin portfolio from donors who are giving Bitcoin. They're holding it. They have a internal understanding of why they're doing it, and they're very comfortable with the fact that, you know, the price of Bitcoin will likely be volatile, as it always has been, and so they're comfortable with it. They have their gift acceptance policy supports it. And I think that's kind of where the discussion usually goes. So if a charity says, you know, we're interested in holding Bitcoin, I'll typically say, or one of our sales executives will typically ask them, well, do you have a gift acceptance policy that supports this? Is your board okay with this? Is your, you know, you just want to make sure you've got that internal buy-in. For the organizations that do, it's pretty straightforward. They can obviously update their, you know, their policy as needed. But beyond that, I think it's philosophical. You know, I think, you know, the other question I always ask is, well, if someone donates $500,000 in Bitcoin, do you need those assets to run your mission? Do you need that? If you do, then I would suggest not holding it. If you believe that you can, if you can run your organization without that, I would say absolutely. You know, and people will oftentimes say, well, what's your personal preference? Like, what's the price of Bitcoin going to be at the end of the year? And of course, I have my own theories, but I don't know the
That's
answer
dangerous.
To that. And so I can obviously say that, like, I am very much, you know, I have a very long-term view on the price of Bitcoin, and I'm very bullish on it. But I also don't need it to run my mission. And that's a huge distinction that I think charities need to carefully, you know, consider as they decide whether or not they're gonna hold.
I have heard someone say that there could be some difficulty with working with their CPA. Like, CPAs aren't necessarily big fans of the implications of holding Bitcoin on a balance sheet, especially for a nonprofit. Any thoughts there? Is that FUD, or is there some legitimacy to that? And maybe does that affect who you choose as a CPA as well?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question. You know, we have relationships with a number of firms that specialize in, you know, tax services for charities. And I think by and large, CPAs are just trying to get their arms around it. And I think that's probably it. You know, a lot of folks in the financial services area in general, when new assets come along and they don't quite understand, they tend to just want to get rid of it. And that's just unnecessary. There's enough good information out nowadays, whether it's tax code, whether it's the way that crypto is treated by the SEC, or specifically Bitcoin and what they've said about it. It's not a heavy lift to go from sort of not understanding it to understanding how it should be on the balance sheet and valuing it and what have you. And again, you know, this is one of the areas where, you know, we try to provide as much information as we can. So for example, our CFO is also a CPA, and he's very in tune with what's going on with how to classify Bitcoin donations and whether they're held or not. And so I think it's more just the effort. So yeah, I would say that's an area where, you know, CPAs need to just need to get up to speed. It's not going to go away. So it's just a good thing for them to really learn about. And from what I can tell, more and more information every day, more and more conferences that tax professionals attend, crypto seems to be a topic of conversation at many of them.
Well, I want to give you a chance in just a second to plug where people can go to find out more about your organization and how they can work with you. But before that, are there any things that you feel like would be helpful for the nonprofit board member, leader, whoever it might be, anything for them to know before we finish out today's interview that we happen to skip over, miss, whatever in our conversation today?
Sure. I think the main thing is to do their due diligence. Every organization is different. Every organization has a certain amount of due diligence that they need to go through to make good financial decisions. And so I would just say with regard to accepting crypto, don't shortcut your internal controls or your existing processes in order to, you know, quickly get a crypto solution on board. But I would encourage to look around, you know, maybe at other organizations that are like yours, and see if they're using crypto, see who they're using. There's a lot of great ways to, you know, to accept crypto these days. We're certainly not the only solution out there. We believe that we have, the best solution, but, you know, I think it's just, don't wait, start your process now. We know that there are a limited number of nonprofits accepting crypto at this point. And that means there's donors out there that have donations they want to make. And if they can't make it to your organization, they'll make it to one that accepts it. And so there's really not a lot of downside at this point to starting that process and figuring out what's the right path. So get going on it before Q4 is what I would say.
There you go. Yeah. Sounds good. And if people do want to get going on it before Q4, where can people go if they want to find out what it looks like to work with you?
Yeah, so go to ingiven.com. Our website provides a lot of great information, and then more than happy to connect and do a demo, walk you through the process, talk about kind of all the things we've talked about today. And we're very methodical in terms of how we onboard. So please take a look, and we'd love to serve you.
Well, James, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it, and hope to be back at some point.
All right, friends, it's a wrap. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Business Bitcoinization Show. If you want to reach out, our email is info@bizbitshow.com. Also, if you haven't done so yet, go ahead and scroll on down to the show notes. There you'll find ways to connect with me and our guest, as well as our excellent sponsors who can help you succeed in your life and in your business. Keep building, keep growing, and until next time, keep living and leading well.
If you're a regular listener of the podcast, thank you. If you want to take a further step in your support for the show, you can help us grow by listening on Fountain, a value-for-value podcast app on iOS or Android. If you hear something you like that you disagree with or anything else, you can share it by sending some sats and adding a comment with your thoughts. Some of you have already done this, and I appreciate it. I'm going to begin reading your boosts on upcoming episodes, so if you have some insight or value to add, let the people know. Getting started with Fountain is easy. You can add Bitcoin to your Fountain wallet by using your fiat accounts or any Lightning wallet. And one of my favorite features is that once you're using the app, you can earn sats just by listening on Fountain. Check out the link in the show notes to get started with Fountain today.